Fred Film Radio.
International Film Festivals and Awards Macau.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the second International Film Festival and Awards Macau. And I'm very pleased to be joined by director Purnila Chatterjee, who is presenting her film The Hungry. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Would you be able to tell our listeners a little bit about the film and the story of the film?
Of course. So The Hungry is an Indian film. It's very loosely based on one of Shakespeare's earliest plays, Titus Andronicus. But what we did was that we took the arch-villain in his play, Tamara, and turned her into our protagonist, a single mother named Tulsi, who comes to her own wedding with the expressed desire to murder the groom and his entire family. And in the course of the film, you discover why she's so bloodthirsty.
Now, you forgive me for asking such a simple follow-up question, but I'm just so curious to know why, what interested you about the original source Shakespearean play, but also about the story, because it is loosely based on it, but I'm sure there's personal things in it as well.
No, of course. So honestly, what first attracted us to Titus, many people asked us this a lot, why Titus? And my co-writer Tanaji Dasgupta and I, immediately we'd say, why not, you know? Especially because it was something that he wrote so early on in his career. He was somewhere in his mid-20s when he wrote it, and you really feel that sort of freshness. He was working out a lot of ideas there that later on you see developed even further in plays like Othello or Macbeth. But this is kind of where it started for him, sort of figuring out how to navigate those very extreme emotions. And that's what was so riveting about the play itself. It's known for its gore and its violence, but beneath that, there's such complex, layered nuances in the emotions that people feel, and this beautiful face-off between a patriarch and a matriarch who each really want to protect their own families. And that's something that, I don't know if it's, I'm sure in a way, it's quite universal, these themes of power, loyalty, family, that really attracted me to the play.
But also the fact that they're upper class.
Oh yeah, so that was so in the play, it's basically it's a rivalry between a Roman general, army general, and a queen. And since we knew that we wanted to make a modern adaptation of it, we wanted to set it in a world where people felt that they could live above the law. And so for us, I guess, it kind of very naturally meant that we'd have to make them very upper class, because those are the people who can actually get away with murder.
I might, be going a little bit overboard with my next question, but I'm very interested in your movie also because of the violence and the gore, because it seems to be motivated by something that is repressed in society.
Totally. Yeah,
so repression is something that...
Absolutely, and I think not just like a societal repression of violence, but also I think how women are oftentimes expected to just, you know, go with the flow and take whatever comes to them. And here we have a mother who is essentially like, you know, no, if you killed my son, I'm going to go after you with a vengeance. And how? So it was really important to bring that about. But also at the end of the day, to show what chasing violence does to a human being, you know, like, what do you lose when you sort of give in to these very base instincts? The film doesn't end happily for her, even though she does get everything that she wanted. That was very important to me, because we didn't want to, in any way, shape or form, sort of glorify what it is that she was doing. Mm-hmm.
Just the visuals are popping back in my head. And for some reason, though, looking back on it, I do think of the violence, but I also think of, like, this explosion of color. Could you tell me more about the images of the film? Are they somewhere in your head before you start filming it? Is it something that you think about a lot before you start filming?
It was. So, I mean, for myself and my cinematographer, Nick, one thing that we really wanted to capture was the mist. Winter in North India is very beautiful. It's misty and it's got this, I mean, to me it feels like Scotland, which is very Shakespearean. So we really wanted to sort of capture that mist coming in, and how that mist sort of affects the nature and the color and everything. And in terms of color, what was also really important to us was to have that journey throughout the film where we take you to a very colorful place, but then break that apart. Because just as we have very colorful moments, we also have rather dark and stark and misty moments, and creating that contrast. And ultimately, like, the film ends kind of in white, like a white wedding. And white is the Hindu color of death, which is sort of why it was important for us to take you through this very colorful journey that ultimately ends in a very white landscape.
Is it difficult to kind of keep it all under control? The story and the visuals in it.
I mean, yeah, but that's sort of, I think when you're making a film, this is definitely something that you're very aware of. And obviously, when you're working with in a sort of low budget arena, you can't always get everything that you want. So you learn how to compromise or cheat your way around things. But yeah, I mean, as filmmakers, the visual and sonic representation of your story is just as important as the story itself. You know, it's all part of the experience.
What about the actors? Where do they fit into the experience?
Oh my goodness, the actors are the most important part to me. They're the ones who are really embodying your story, you know. And they're the ones who bring all those 20,000 layers that you only touch at in your script. They're very, very important, and we were very lucky to have the kind of cast that we have. It's a mix of very well-known Indian actors like Nasruddin Shah, Tiska Chopra, theatre veterans like Neeraj Kabi, Jayant Kriplani, and also a lot of new sort of up-and-coming indie, very good indie actors like Arjun Gupta, Shayoni, Antonio Keel, Karan Pandit. And what was really amazing about them was as soon as I cast someone, they immediately became a part of the process. They would read drafts that I wrote, really workshop their own characters and kind of create those characters with me. So it wasn't me saying, do this. It was more like, how can we make this together?
I just want to go back to like the original Shakespearean source. And what do you think Shakespeare's works have that is so that can be translated into such a universal language?
I think what it is he explores emotions at a very in a very basic, almost like elementary way, and I don't mean that in a bad way at all. What he does is, I guess the easiest way to say it is, I think when Shakespeare explores hatred, he really explores it. When he explores love, it's the most manic sort of out there love ever. So he pushes emotions to the extremes, and that's definitely something that I think anywhere people can sort of find a link, you know. It's you can it's odd. I feel like his works aren't, they're able to transcend the culture in which they were written, and that's why even today, you know, in countries all over the world, people are adapting his works in different forms also, not just cinema but dance as well.
And is there sort of an immediacy to his works?
Yeah, exactly. There's an immediacy, and there's so much that you can, that poetry in it. The interesting thing is when you're trying to make an adaptation, it's not just actually about the emotions. You can then find a lot of inspiration in how he describes nature, you know, and how to capture that either through sound or through images. Like, it's beautiful. You can get lost.
And the same, I guess, could be said about cinema as well, because cinema obviously has the advantage that it's a visual art form, so the images are very immediate, so every image counts, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally, totally.
Do you approach filmmaking in that way? Like, you think that the image does have an importance and that it has to be taken advantage of?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, like, you know, you suffuse the image with... there's always a reason for why you're putting something on screen. And that reason is not necessarily always narrative. It speaks to something. It can possibly speak to something else. And so from our film, one example was, you know, that there's that ceremony where the bride and the groom are being smothered in the yellow paste. And so that's like the first explosion of yellow, because not only are they totally covered in yellow, but we have a lot of yellow flowers, yellow food, people are wearing yellow garments. In the midst of all that yellow, we have the bride wearing a black sari, and that is totally non-traditional. Nobody wears black at a wedding. But we wanted that because it gives you a sort of, she suddenly looks a little bit like a wicked witch amidst all this color. And to just give like that little hint of that. And so you have, I think, like, even from like your biggest set pieces to something seemingly small, you'll always be trying to figure out how can I use the image and the colors and the placement of things to make the audience feel something, sure, whatever that might be.
Well, I think that, well, I wanted to end the interview saying that, because I think that having watched the film, this is a movie that needs to be seen big. So it has to be seen in the cinema, right? So there's a difference.
There totally is a difference. I love watching films in the cinema because you, especially nowadays, you get immersed. You get completely immersed. So hopefully we'll see. I mean, we're working on theatrical releases, and fingers crossed it happens in the new year.
Fingers crossed. Well, in the meantime, I thank you very much for talking to us about it. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Once again, I remind our listeners that the film is called The Hungry, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.